Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Christ the King Sunday will be taken from James, leaving off where we left last week, chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 13 through 20. It's a teaching text, epistle. You don't have to stand for this, so we'll remain seated. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, reading in Jesus' name. Is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whosoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of the Spirit that you would speak and men and flesh would be silent. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth. There is no truth outside of your word. We ask it in his name. Amen. So last week we went through the aspect of those that trust in their riches. And that's really what it comes down to. Those that trust in their riches and think that's going to gain them some merit in eternal things, it's going to let you down. We don't take any of it with us. And then he spoke very straightforward to us, which is something that we really don't like to hear. I don't like to hear it. But it's basically having patience through suffering. That we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulties. We're going to go through moments in our life we wonder why. That's natural. But there is purpose behind all things, and that's the thing. I mean, it's like watching my, you know, Aunt Philly online going through what she's going through. We could sit there and we could ask questions of why. Well, the human body is failing. That's the understandable thing. It's like when I received the news that I had cancer years ago, I called my father and I figured maybe I'd get some encouragement from my dad. And I told him, well, Dad, I got diagnosed with cancer. And he said, well, son, we all got to die of something. That was his word. And it may seem inoffensive in a way, but the reality of it is that God allowed me to be healed from that moment, but we're gonna die another day. And it's hard when we watch people going down these roads, but the reality of it is, heaven is not a consolation prize. It is a victory. It's everything that we desire and hope for, with no more pain, no more suffering. And it's all in God's due time. But what can we learn going through these trials and these difficulties? What can we learn going through the process of suffering, if we could say it that way? That's what's really important. That we could ask God to use these circumstances in our life to help another. And I've shared with this before. I'm sure that you've heard it before, but I remember just before I was diagnosed, I talked with a couple elder ladies from Alston. And they both had been through cancer. One of them was such a dear person. I loved her immensely. I mean, I loved them both, but one was just so close to me. Because when I got diagnosed, she was diagnosed again with the same cancer I had. And we kind of went through it together. I was healed. She was healed. A few years later, she was diagnosed again. She came through that. In the last 2 years, she was diagnosed again, and she was healed for eternity. She sits before the throne of God in Christ Jesus. and we rejoice with her. But those women, they encouraged me. I watched my stepfather go through it just before I was diagnosed. He passed of it. And yet I saw his faith and his stamina that God gave. And this is what I'm trying to share. Yes, what we're going through as human beings is all different, but we're all, in reality, can help each other. It is never wasted if we allow God to use it to bring honor and glory to his kingdom. And when I watch the videos of people singing and rallying around my aunt, I see that very plainly. It's not about finances. It's not about material things. It's about the eternal gift that Christ Jesus has given us. And so he says, we can have patience through these times. There is a purpose behind it all. We may not understand it. We may not fully get it. I may not even get it in my life, but somebody else may see it, and it'll encourage them. So how can these things be? But then he goes into this aspect after dealing with that. He understands it's not easy. James is sharing it very openly. He says, is there actually any among you that is suffering, that is going through difficulty? The first thing that he shares with them is pray about it. You know, and it's like I shared with you years ago, and I shared with you not long ago, you know, because I don't have any new stories. It might be time for a new pastor to get some new stories. Or, Lord willing, I don't want to go through more trials, but maybe more trials will come, and then I can have more stories. But going through the seminary, I remember I was having a difficult time. Really a difficult time. And I asked one of my professors, I said, you know, what do I do about this? And he said, well, do you pray about it? And as I shared with you before, of course I pray about it. I'm going to be a pastor or whatever. I mean, we're religious. That's my sarcasm, but our attitude as human beings. But he asked a very pointed question. How do you pray about it? These words are never lost. In the situation, I pray that God would get me out of it. Bring healing, bring this, bring the answer, fix the problem. Are any of you suffering? Pray. But don't pray like Jesse in his humanness. Lord, get me out of this. Fix it. I spent too much money. I can't deal with it anymore. Get me out of debt. I live my life too carelessly. Now I have problems. Get me out of this. You know, I went off and I had a few too many of those things, and then I drove my car and got caught. Get me out of it. No. Change your prayer. Lord, allow me to go through what I must go through, but allow me to learn what I must learn going through it, that it would bring honor and glory to you and that it could encourage others. See, this is the whole thing. My pastor friend asked me, do you pray about it? And I said, yeah, get me out of it. He says, change your prayer. Lord, allow me to go through this season of life and allow me to learn what I must learn going through it. We all have challenges. I look in this room, and we may not know each other's challenge, but I have an opportunity to know a lot of people's challenges. You're not alone. You are not alone. But God sees us all. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear evil. He will bring us through. Are any among you suffering? Pray about it. And then this one really, really drives me kind of crazy. Are any of you cheerful? Sing praises. How's that work? You know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there misery. I'm sitting there feeling bad for myself. Somebody licked all the frosting off my cake, right? And my wife's over there singing praises to God and cheery and everything's wonderful. It doesn't blend well sometimes. But God gives us both. We need those people around us that are encouragers, are strengtheners, are joyful. We need joy even in our darkest moments. So if anyone is cheerful, let them sing praise to God. Be thankful for that. We need all those things. We need the ability to deal with our suffering. We need to be able to pray that God will get us through it, that he'll allow us to learn. but then we also need to be thankful and have a happiness and have those people around us that, I mean, how would you like to have all Job's friends? Job's going through the suffering, he's going through the difficulty, and they're like, what'd you do wrong? You must have done something. We need people that see God beyond the circumstance, beyond the moment. He says, are any of you sick? Is there some among you that are sick? And this is kind of an interesting thing for me. So I've been a pastor now for 21 years as an active pastor. That's crazy. That's not a bragging right. I failed 21 times every year. So, but the point is, I've heard this complaint, and I'm going to say it very openly, not about just me, because generally people don't say it to your face. But I've heard it about a lot of other pastor friends. People come to me and share with me. They don't go see anybody. Scripture here is opened up. James is saying, if any of you sick, what are they to do? Call. Call. Send a text. We live in a different world now. Send a text. Send an email. Give a call to the office. I've actually had people upset at me, and I'm not saying this like in a negative way to just bring discontention. I'm just saying, think about how logical this is. I'm one person, and I'm picking on myself right now. I'm not picking on any other pastor that I've heard about. And people will end up in the hospital, and they'll never tell me, and then they're upset you don't go see them. Anyone know anything about HIPAA? I have had some very close people to me just say, hey, you might want to come check room 2. And I found out that way. But we can't go if we don't know. And if we don't know, we're not going to think about it. And so he's saying, if there's someone that's sick among you, call. Reach out. Call the elders of the church. And I think there's really something very important about this. Ask for the prayer. I've only seen it one time in this congregation, and I'm still trying to figure it out, but I remember this. It was Phyllis Hill. She was going through her struggle. And some of you have been here long enough to know that Arvo came up here, and he had a prayer and anointed her. And I think that that's something that we've kind of gotten rid of, and I think it's very powerful that if there are needs, that we should be able to do this. That we can call on the elders, that we can call on the pastor, we can call on the board, whoever it is, to lay hands and pray for individuals going through difficulty. And so, first and foremost, I say it's not just, and I'm not trying to get off the hook. I'm in this office generally Monday through Thursday. You know, especially during the winter, I'm here all morning and then I try to find places to visit. But ask. If I ever turned you down, I'd be shocked. And if I turn you down for definitely not a good reason, I need to be dismissed. I need to be fired. But some days you're just putting out fire to fire, fire to fire. But the point is, it says, if any of you are sick, let them call the elders of the church. Let's do this. Let's get involved. Let the pastor know. Let the board know. Let somebody know that things are going on and you want to have prayer. He says, and let them pray over them. Anointing them with the oil. And this is kind of a beautiful thing. The anointing of the oil is very symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about it. We see it with the anointing of kings and things in the Old Testament. But also, we need to understand what he's really saying here also. See, we have a lot of people out there that have this understanding in this world about just faith healing, and you just got to believe, 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 and if you're not healed, you didn't believe. That's not, we got to remember God's will in this whole thing. It's God's will here. We pray believing. We do the aspect of the oil, but actually what the oil represents, not just the Holy Spirit, but it actually is medicinal within the Old Testament too, and in the New Testament. Pastor, give us proof. Okay. What about the Good Samaritan? He found a man in the ditch. What did he do? He, in reality, put oil on his wounds and bound him up and brought him to an inn. They very strongly felt that this was very healing to do this. So really what James is saying is, when someone is sick, pray for them. Bless them with the Spirit, no doubt about it. But also, take your medicine and pray. And it's interesting because I'll speak only to myself. When I went through the aspect of cancer, I was told, literally told, and I had notes left on my door at my house in Tapiola. And the intention was beautiful. People loved me. I know that. But don't go to the doctor. They'll kill you. Just do this. I went to the doctor. I had a Muslim doctor that actually was my oncologist. And we went through the whole treatment. And by the time I had my third chemo treatment, he looked at me and he told me that my tumor was gone. It was the size of a football. He told me it's gone. I'm telling you this for a reason. And he said, and I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how it's gone so quickly. And I looked right at him. And him and I had open dialogue about him and his Muslim faith and me and my Christian faith, so I'm not speaking ill. I said, I know how. You do? I said, absolutely. God used the prayers of the saints with your medicine to heal me. And he looked at me and he said, keep praying to your God. And he walked out. God can do all kinds of things, but we are, I think, really giving a disservice to the ability God has given us if we don't embrace what he has given us. Is there good and bad science out there? Absolutely. There's good and bad everything. But we take our medicine, we do our part, and we pray that God, by the power of his Spirit, will work. And we also share it. You don't say you have to come up here and share your struggle with everybody in the congregation. I don't want to say blanket statements, but I generally ask when someone asks for prayer, private or public. Last week I had someone request a prayer for a grandson, and I asked her very point blankly, private or public? And she said, public is fine. But ask. We have the body of Christ, and prayer is so important that God in reality works. He works through this. Some people say, well, you say that God needs us. No, he doesn't need us. But this is what he chose. And he is God, and I am not. We can't pray for you if we don't know. We try to do kind of blanket prayers. Lord, there are those that are struggling, those that are going through difficulty. Be with them. Some that they can express, some they can't express. Be with them. And he hears those. But there's many people in this congregation that would love to sit at a coffee table with you and to hold your hand and to pray that God would continue to work in your life and bless you in whatever direction he wants. It is such a gift. Ask and allow the elders of the church to come and to pray. And anoint them with oil, showing that blessing of the Spirit and also the great, I'm going to say it in my terms, medical science that God has allowed. Judy and I, we went through a difficult time when we also had people that I love very much that told me, you will not stay here, you will go to Mayo's, you will get treated there. We had a young family, we had kids really young back then, this is 2009. And we prayed about it, and we felt, this is too much for our family to be running there all the time. Too much for our family to be going everywhere else. And we prayed about it separately and together, and we felt the same God watches over me there as he does over there. And he took care of us. So pray about it. Pray as husband and wife. Pray as a family. Pray together. Ask your elders. Ask your board. Ask your leaders of Bible study. Pray. Don't ever be ashamed of struggles. There's some struggles that we definitely don't want to share in public. And you know what? You may even come to my office someday and say, you're going to be surprised or you're going to be shocked. No. I honestly haven't heard anything that I haven't struggled with myself. but we hand it over to God. And the day that I think I don't struggle with it, really? You don't murder, but yet you hate. You don't commit adultery, but yet you lust. Come and ask. We love you. We want to pray with you. The body of Christ loves you. Whatever it may be, doesn't mean we have all the great answers, but we have the gift of God and the love that he has given us to share and to encourage. He says, don't you know that a prayer of faith will save the one that's sick? And this is where faith healers go from. I knew, and in fact, I'll say it right openly right now, I know my Aunt Philly. She's going to be healed. And that's the beauty of it when you are in Christ. You're healed no matter what. We just don't know if it's on this side of earth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I knew 100% by the grace and the faith that God had given me when Judy and I were taking this journey, I was going to be healed. Because cancer is a stupid disease. Because it eats the host. But the reality of it is God has given me an eternal life. He's given you eternal life. And we will receive the reward of salvation through Christ Jesus. He says the prayer of faith will save the one that's sick. But it doesn't say on this side of earth. It doesn't make God our genie or our puppet where we can turn around and do this. I mean, there have been situations as a pastor, you go into a room and you look, and I literally have said to people, how am I praying? How am I praying? Miracles upon earth? A smooth transition for heaven. How am I praying? And there's times that I've been told, miracles. Pray for healing on earth. And we pray and we pray. And then I'll go there a week or two later and they'll say, transition. God allows us to take these steps so that we are ready to let go. Judy's father went through that. I shared that with you. He was suffering of liver cancer. He went through a brutal time. We were praying for miracles. But I mean, let's be blunt. He was 83? 86. He'd lived a good life. We all prayed and prayed. And finally he said, pray that I go home. Pray that I go to Jesus. And so we started praying in that direction. And the interesting thing of it is the opportunity wasn't for Billy, my father-in-law, whom I love. It was for me. It was for Judy. It was for her 8 siblings to be able to get to the point of saying, Lord, take him. Bring him to glory. These moments are difficult when we go through them, the trials that we face. And I'm giving you extreme trials, and I'm being vulnerable to our family. But what I'm saying is God doesn't waste these things. They are for us, as difficult as it may be. He says the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. And look at what he says. He talks about resurrection here. And the Lord will raise him up. He might be raised up from that hospital bed and live many more years. Or he might be raised up to eternity and live for eternity. He says, and in reality, he says very straightforward. And when, he says, if he committed sins, it'll be forgiven. In other words, he's speaking back to the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're not looking at this man's earthly life anymore. We're looking to the redemptive work of Christ here. We are praying in faith, asking God to reveal himself that this individual will be brought back to full restoration. We just don't know what the restoration is, here or there. He is forgiven. He says, so on account of this, don't wait. And that's really what he's saying here. Don't wait. Share with each other. Confess your sins one to another. And pray for one another. We often think of sins as only those things that we don't do, right? I mean, 3 beer aho, I don't drink, but boy, everybody else thinks I do. But let's just say, now I can be proud that I don't. wow. Or I don't do this with my hair. I don't do this. Those are foolishness. Those are just external things. Ultimately, the greatest sin is unbelief. I'm struggling. Share that. I can't see beyond this circumstance. Share that. My heart is hurting. Be honest. Be real. God can handle it. Confess your sins with one another. And it's not so that we can sit there and judge people. It's like this little story. There's three pastors, they're sitting there and they're hanging out together and they're talking, and the one pastor says very plainly, he says, I want to share with you my struggles. He says, I have a real struggle. He said, my struggle is women. I found myself close to an affair. I found myself in affairs. He says, it's really been a struggle for me. The other pastor says, well, okay, now that you're opening up, I'm going to share with you. He says, I have a struggle with alcohol. I have beers at night when I'm home alone. I even keep a little bottle in my office. I'm really struggling. Well, you could really edit this on Facebook to make it sound like I'm a bad guy. But anyway, he says, I really struggle with that. So they look to the third pastor and they say, what's your struggle? He says, man, I really struggle with gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. Share. But just be careful who you share with. Make sure they're a confidant. Someone that cares about you. Someone that loves. Confess one to another. Encourage one another. That's why we share. That you can believe your sins, doubts, and fears forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. This is the body of Christ. This is our opportunity. He says so that you can be healed. He says, don't you understand? The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And I think this is brother to brother, sister to sister. But ultimately, I see this as the great priestly prayer where Jesus Christ himself, in our behalf, prays to the Heavenly Father. He is the righteous prayer. And he asks that we would be saved. He says, do you know the power of prayer? You know that Elijah, he did all of these things. But really, he was just like us. And there was a point in his ministry where he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And God heard that prayer for a purpose, to bring repentance. And he allowed it not to rain for 3.5 years upon this earth to miss the blessings of God. But then he turns and he prays that it would rain, showing the glory of God, showing the power of God, the power of his kingdom. He says, and it rained. And it brought back its fruit. He says, my brother, he says, do you understand? That was for a purpose, for repentance for the people. He says, if a brother among you is wandering, is walking away from the truth, and you are able to pray with them, share with them, encourage them, he says, you're saving a soul. He says, really, that's the work of God. He says, let them know that whosoever brings back this individual, this sinner, this man, from his wandering ways, he says, you save his soul from death. Eternal death is what he's talking. He says, and it covers a multitude of sin. James is trying to share with us, we are so blessed. We are blessed more than we'll ever know. Because God has forgiven us of all things. If we receive this, can we not dispense it? So I think what James is trying to say to us in the finished work of Jesus Christ, today you can believe your sins forgiven in his precious name and in his shed blood, for he is the redemption of the world, but more personally, of you. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.